Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and I hope you are doing well and that God is blessing you richly. Now, today we have another great episode. Every single character in the Bible always reveals some important truths. And today, let me ask you a question or two questions. Have you ever been deeply hurt by someone, so much so that you wish something or secretly wish something bad would happen to them because of what they did to you? That's a good question. Do you struggle with blessing your enemies? That's another good question. Well, in today's episode, episode 16, we are going to be looking at an Old Testament character who actually had a New Testament perspective. And this is a young woman. In fact, scholars think so young that she was a young girl. And she was so almost insignificant that her name is not mentioned in the Bible. But again, I've said this before, that just because there are nameless characters, it doesn't mean that we can't find some great attributes and truths in God's word. And certainly, God has a reason why he doesn't name these characters. It's so that you and I could relate to them. And so this young girl was so instrumental in this story that even Jesus spoke about this story in Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to mention that a little bit later. But she is from the Old Testament. And who is she? She is the maidservant of Naaman's wife. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, where we find this story. So 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning from verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Look at that. It was God who gave him victory. And so he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised that this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." And so it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I say to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And so he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the sayings of the man, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." I'm going to stop right here. And I know that was a big portion of scripture to read, but it's really important to not just tell the story, but to read what the scripture says. So to summarize, so you get the gist of what is happening in this story. Back then, Syria would win a lot of battles. And God, as we saw in scripture, it said that God gave Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, favor. He was a mighty man of valor. And Syria would do a lot of raids, so much so that they captured one particular young girl. And she was placed in the house of Naaman, who, of course, was the commander of the Syrian army. Now, the thing is that he had leprosy. And so she told his wife that, oh, you know, if he went to see Elisha, now it's not named here in the scripture, but we find out later as we continue to read, it was Elisha the prophet in Samaria. If Naaman would go see him, oh, Naaman would surely be healed. And so this was passed on to Naaman, who then went to the king of Syria. The king of Syria at that time was Ben-Hadad, and he asked for permission to go into Israel, because you have to realize they were at war, they were fighting all the time. So this was not a customary thing just to go into the land and go seek somebody else. So he asked the king first. So the king wrote a letter to King Joram. Joram was the king of Israel at that time, wrote a letter to say that, oh, my servant wishes to be healed. Now, when Joram got this letter, he was perturbed because he thought King Ben-Hadad was definitely trying to fight with him or seek a quarrel, because how is he supposed to heal this man, Naaman? So he tore his clothes and he was in utter distress. And Elisha the prophet, he heard about it and he said, well, you know what, send him my way. Now, what's interesting to note, as I read before, that Naaman took gifts with him. What did he take? Well, he took 10 talents of silver. How much was that worth in today's day? $272,000. I looked it up, and that's how much 10 talents is worth today. 6,000 shekels of gold, you can only imagine, because gold is very expensive today. It's worth $2.9 million today. So that's incredible, as well as 10 different changes of clothing. So long story short, Naaman was willing to go see Elisha. He was so desperate to be healed that he took over $3 million worth of gifts to be healed. And so he goes to see the prophet Elisha. He comes to the house. Elisha doesn't even meet him. He sends a servant to meet him. Now we know that later on, of course, the servant was Gehazi. That was Elisha's servant. And Gehazi just told him, he said, well, just go into the river. The prophet says, go into the river, the Jordan River, and dip yourself 7 times and you will be healed. Well, Naaman was so incensed that he thought, I'm not going to go into this disgusting river. There are better rivers near Damascus. The Jordan is a dirty, muddy river. No, I'm not going to do that. And he was ready to leave. Now, if it weren't for the servants of Naaman, who loved him and cared about him, said, look, just calm down a little bit, because you know what? If Elisha would have asked you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Of course you would have. So this is fairly simple. Just dip yourself in the water 7 times. And so Naaman decided to do that. He went in and dipped himself and came out and dipped himself in again and came out and the third time and came out and the fourth time. And he did it seven times. He did what was commanded. And on the seventh time, when he came out of the water, he was completely healed. Completely. And not only just healed, but physically, but his heart was healed. He recognized that there is no other God except the God of Jehovah. And now he was going to serve the God of Israel. And so he goes back to Elisha and he says, please take my gifts. And Elisha very politely refused. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not interested. This is not me. It's really him. It's always God, right? And so he doesn't take the gifts. And what happened to Naaman was he just asked for two mule loads or two cart loads of earth. He wanted to take back with him to do sacrifices unto the Lord. So we're going to, like I said, we stop the story right there because there's more to it, but this is the most important part. So I hope you get the gist. If this is the first time you hear the story, you have some kind of understanding. And most preachers will always look at this story and talk about Naaman and talk about Elisha and focus on those characters. But today, seeing the fact that we are doing women in the Bible, and this is a young woman in the Bible, we are going to talk about that very insignificant, seemingly insignificant, maidservant of Naaman's wife. And you know what? She only said 20 words. And you know, sometimes a lot can be told from just a little statement that we make. We don't need a whole lifetime of history, but we're going to see the kind of person that she is just from what she said. So let's look and see in verse 3 what she actually said here. Here you go. Then she said, so this was after, of course, about the leprosy. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Okay, so what do we know about this maidservant? First and foremost, we know that she was a slave. You can only imagine the tears that were tied up in the tragedy of being taken as a hostage, taken in this raid from her homeland. Because again, there were many raids that Syria would do, and she was one of the spoils of war, if you want to put it that way, like almost like a POW. And so she was taken from her homeland. You can only imagine. And here she was put in the home of Naaman, the Syrian commander. Now, you can only imagine that she was more than likely very angry with her captors. If anybody was kidnapped from their own home, if anybody was taken hostage, you know what? You would be in a completely different mind space. I mean, here she was. She was taken from her homeland. She was alone in a strange land. She was taken from her loving mother, loving father. Anybody who was a hostage or a slave of some sort, removed from where they lived, and very violently removed when you're in a raid, you can only imagine the nightmares that she went through. You can only imagine the fact that she felt helpless and all her dreams were completely cast away. Like, this young maidservant probably, as she was growing up, thought about one day marrying a handsome Jewish man and having a family of her own, living in close proximity to her own family. And all this was taken away through a raid, through being a slave. And you can only imagine the resentment and the anger that she had. Most people would have that, wouldn't they? But did she? Let's look and see what this says. What does the verse say? She says, when she finds out that Naaman had leprosy, then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Oh, does this sound like somebody who's angry? Does this sound like somebody who's resentful? Here was an instance where she could have said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, like it says in Exodus 21. Let's look at that scripture, Exodus 21, verses 24 and 25. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. That was what the Bible would speak about. If somebody would hurt you, you hurt them back. If somebody punched you in the face, you punch them back. If somebody killed somebody, you kill them. It was just one for the other. But we see that her character was a stark contrast to what Old Testament teaching was. She had a New Testament mentality. You know, she could have kept quiet when she heard about this. She could have been angry and said, well, you know what? He deserves this. This man, he might be a valiant man of war. He might be a decorated commander. And you know, the greatest thing back then was to die a hero. Well, he's going to die of leprosy. He deserves it. He deserves it. I'm going to rejoice in his suffering. How many people would be like that? And sometimes we can be like that when somebody has hurt us and then we feel, you know what, they deserve whatever they're going through. They deserve it. They've done that to me. She was a classic example of how we have to be as Christians. We see that truly she lived the Sermon on the Mount. What did the Sermon on the Mount say? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, excuse me, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so we see that she had all the reasons to be angry with Naaman for just removing her from her homeland, from her place of security. Every reason to be angry with her captor. She could have just minded her own business and it's like, oh, well, yeah, I do know a prophet, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to help you. No, we see that she, just as she loved God, she loved her captor. We see that. And so what else do we see in this story? We see that she made her purpose count. Very important. She made her purpose count. Everybody has a purpose. Now, you see, back then, slaves, when they were taken captive and became slaves, where would they go? They would more than likely do very laborious, very arduous work out in the fields, doing something heavy, difficult. Now, if there was particular favor, they would be placed in a home of high ranking, just like she was. She was placed in the Syrian commander's home. The just unbelievable that she was there and became the maidservant of his wife. And so she could have been put anywhere else, but she was put there for a reason. And we have to understand that, ladies. Wherever you are in your life right now, whatever space you were, maybe you're at a job you don't like, or maybe you're in a relationship that's taxing. Maybe it's been very difficult home-wise regarding your relationship with your husband, and you just maybe want out. But God has you there for a reason. We have to understand that we have a purpose of where he has placed us. as unfavorable as it may seem to us. This could have been very unfavorable for her. She wanted to be back home, but she was there for a purpose. And that's why at the end of each episode, I always say, make each day count. Make today count in the kingdom of God. You know, ladies, you woke up this morning, you're breathing. He allowed you to be alive, and he allowed you to be alive for a purpose so you can live and fulfill that purpose. There's so many people across the world who will be dying today, whose last breath will be taken today. And that's why every single day counts in eternity. We have to understand that we are where we are at for a purpose, and we have to make it count. She made it count. She was in Naaman's home, and she made it count. Here, she could have been very bitter. She could have been very resentful, but she was a light amongst her captors. Unbelievable. And so we understand, as young as this girl was, we don't know how old she was, but as young as she was, clearly she must have had some teaching back home to understand who God was. And, you know, and she made use of it. She became an instrument for a great salvation, as we see. You see, ladies, she didn't hate this man who was her captor, but she saw the need that he had. Think about that. Who has hurt you in your life? It's important not to hate that person or despise that person, but to look at them through the eyes of God, to understand that there is a need. You know, many years ago, this was when we were first in ministry, and I was just basically newly married. Up to that point, there were not many people that would offend me, but one person had really, particularly a Christian woman, she had hurt me. She said some terrible things about me, and it really wounded me. And I would ask God, God, please forgive her. I forgive her, and help me to go on. And this pain, this resentment wouldn't go away. It would just grow and grow. Eventually she moved out of the city, and I thought, oh, my pain's gone, but it wasn't. It was still in my heart. And I would ask God to remove it, but I was still angry. I was still bitter. And because of what she did to me. And what was interesting was, there was a day that we had to be at the same event. She came from out of town, and I was crying out to God. It's like, God, I don't want to feel the way I feel. And I finally prayed a prayer. It wasn't, God, take this away from me and I forgive her. I wasn't really forgiving her, but I prayed this prayer. I said, God, please help me to love her like you love her. And all of a sudden, it all disappeared. It just lifted, the burden lifted off of me, the resentment and the bitterness. And when I saw her, I was able to embrace her. We became friends after that, like friends. And it's amazing how God brought healing. Why? Because I looked at her through God's eyes. Have people hurt you? Oh yeah, we've all been hurt. But do you look at that person through the eyes of God? How he sees them, broken, needing him. And this is what this maidservant saw in the story. She didn't look at her captor as someone she could hate, but she saw the need for God's healing, the need for God's love. And God just, because of her, did this incredible miracle. You never know how God can use you to bring a miracle into someone else's life. Think about that. And so here we see, she saw his need. You know, John chapter 4, verse 35 says, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Ladies, time is running out. We know that. We hear that constantly, that Jesus is coming back soon. We hear that more than ever today. because of all the signs and the prophecies that have been fulfilled. And we know, but sometimes, like the scripture, we say, oh, it's 4 months away. Harvest is 4 months off. It could be today. Oh, how God wants to use you today to be that mouthpiece, his mouthpiece, speaking his love, speaking his mercy, speaking his grace into somebody else's life. You know, there's the lost are all around us. And so we can't just sit back and just feed ourselves with the word of God and get fat and overweight in that, doing nothing. He's calling us to be active. He's calling us to spread his love and spread his word. And so sometimes we'll make excuses. Some of us will just say, well, I don't know enough, or I'm around Christians all the time. I'm not around the unsaved. And we use all kinds of excuses why not to share. And sometimes we just think, oh, that person isn't even worthy to share the gospel with. Well, certainly the maidservant in this story, she could have thought the same thing. Oh, Naaman's not worthy. He took me captive. I'm here in this house as a slave. But no, New Testament love, we see that. And you know, if we will seek, the Bible tells us that if we will seek to share our faith, he will strengthen our faith. The Bible says that in Philemon 6. Now, Philemon doesn't have, it's only one chapter, and that's why I say Philemon 6, but let's look and see what that verse says. It says, the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And so as you share, you get strengthened. So you got to share your faith, ladies. You got to share. We know he's coming back very soon, very soon. It could be today. Tell somebody about Jesus. Share the love of God. Make today count. And we have to understand that, again, we don't have to be spiritual giants. And sometimes we sit back on that excuse. And, oh, you know, the other person's been given 10 talents, 5 talents. I only have 1 talent. I'm just going to bury it. Like the Bible speaks, don't bury that talent. Use it. God expects you to invest into his kingdom. What else do we see about her? We see she had confidence and faith in God. Let's look at that verse, verse 3 again. One word that really stands out that shows that she has faith. She says, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Not could, not maybe, but would. Doesn't that speak about the kind of faith that she had? You know, she didn't have weak faith. She believed in a big God. She was a believer. Here she was living in a house of idolatry idolaters, but yet she had a strong and contagious faith. And you know, it just goes to show that her love for God was translated into affection for her captors. You can tell in that verse that, oh my goodness, she wanted to see Naaman healed. There was a love. It translates, and she was a young child. She understood the principles of the love of God. Oh, you can only imagine the testimony that this young girl had. There's a reason why they chose her. She could have been a slave out there working in the field, but they chose her because they saw something. There was a light in her, in this young girl. So it's not about everything that you might or might not know about God, but it's the light that you have in your life. She had that light, and she was unafraid. Doesn't matter who her audience was, she was unafraid to speak about God. Oh, ladies, let me ask you something. How many times have you withheld or closed your mouth when you know that you should have spoken and told somebody about Jesus? How many times have we been quiet and we have not said anything and shared the love of God because we were afraid to, or there was somebody in the room who blasphemed the name of God and we said nothing? Oh, we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? But you know what? Every day is a new day. Look, here she was. You got to understand who she was. Number one, she was, first of all, a Jew. The Syrians didn't care about the Jews. Secondly, she was female. Oh, back then they didn't care for females. Thirdly, she was a little girl. A little girl, not even a woman, but a little girl. Who's going to listen to her? And fourthly, she was a slave. All those four things, and yet she was in the home of Naaman, the Syrian commander, a powerful man, a little powerless girl, so it seemed. But yet she spoke into the life of this commander. Oh, how couldn't we be someone just like her? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just have a pinhead of the kind of courage that she had? Talk about an incredible young woman of God. What else did she have? Well, she had a contagious voice, didn't she? We see here that when she spoke these words to Naaman's wife. Now, Naaman's wife, you could only imagine, when she found out that her husband had leprosy, she was probably very distraught. Oh, I wish something could be done. And maybe that's when this little maidservant decided to speak up. Well, I know somebody. He's in Samaria and he's the prophet, and he would definitely heal Naaman. And you could only imagine. Look what it says here. We're going to read these verses. Watch. Tell me if you see this here. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Then verse 4, and Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. What do you see here? Oh my goodness, this little girl, she speaks up. She speaks to her mistress, who then, she believed, she spoke to her husband about this. Naaman believed, who then spoke to the king. Do you see evangelism here? One voice speaking to the next voice, to the next voice. Oh, do you see how important it is? How our voice, one voice, your voice, can make a difference in one person's life, who can make a difference in myriads of people's lives. Look at the impact that she had. You know, sometimes we worry so much about our deficiencies and, oh, you know, I'm not going to say anything. You know, this little girl, she could have said, well, why would they pay attention to me? I'm just a little girl. She could have had that excuse. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? She could have said, well, you know what? Maybe if I speak about this, I might lose my job. Oh, how many people nowadays are so afraid, especially in today's day and age, and the way the world is today, are afraid to speak up because they're afraid of losing their jobs. They don't want to speak about the name of the Lord because, oh, we can't do that. It's not politically correct. But she could have said that. She could have thought, oh, maybe this is crossing over boundaries, but she didn't care. She was going to speak. She was going to be that voice. She didn't care who her audience was, because the only audience that mattered was the audience of one, the audience of God. She spoke. And look at that. Here was Naaman, the powerful man. He listened to the voice of a young girl and believed. Now look at this, how interesting this is. He believed this little girl and what she said. He took it so far to go to King Ben-Hadad, to go write a letter to the king of Israel, the king, King Joram, so that Naaman can have the permission to go see this prophet. And when he finally does go and see the prophet Elisha, Elisha didn't even come to the door. So Naaman was so incensed, and his pride rose up. Imagine that. He was so angry. But on top of that, more angry about what? Dipping in the River Jordan? Are you joking me? Pride rose up. And it was such a simple thing to do. Just dip yourself in the water and you're going to be healed. It was simple. So interesting to see. You know, so here he was. He finally obeyed that command. He got healed. He got healed not only physically, but he got healed internally. He had a new heart. He worshiped the Lord Jehovah. How amazing is that? Now picture this, ladies. You can only imagine him going back home. We don't know the rest of the story afterwards with what had happened with this young maidservant. We don't know. We just saw in verse 3 that was the last that we've seen. But think about this. Naaman was a generous man. Naaman brought over $3 million worth of gifts to bless Elisha, to thank him, okay? And yet, he comes back home. You could only imagine this young servant girl, her master. He was healed. And not only that, but now he's proclaiming that the Lord God Jehovah was his God. So he got healed physically. He got saved. Chances are her mistress got saved, that the whole household had the Lord God Jehovah as their God in the house. You can only imagine how she felt. Now, I said this, Naaman wanted to give Elisha over $3 million. Do you think, and Elisha refused it, do you think that he didn't want to reward this maidservant for speaking up? Oh, I can only imagine. He had a generous heart. He probably did. And we don't know. Maybe he gave her riches. Maybe he gave her her freedom. Maybe he gave her money to send back home to her relatives. Maybe he brought her relatives there. Who knows? But I am sure she was greatly blessed by this incredible act that she did. Amazing. Jesus even spoke about the story. I mentioned this in the beginning. He said in Luke 4, verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Let me tell you something, as I said earlier, you know, so often we focus on Naaman in the story and Elisha, but they weren't the heroes of the story. The real heroine was this little girl who had faith, who had courage, who didn't have resentment, who had a heart of forgiveness, who was willing to speak up for her faith. A little child. That's why Jesus says that we ought to be like little children. Oh, the faith. Oh, look what she teaches us. She is the heroine of this story. And so what do we learn? We have to learn that, ladies, little acts, little things in life have great impact. We are also to be a blessing in any circumstance that we are put in. We are to have compassion to those that have hurt us, who have abused us and used us, who have persecuted us. We are to love them. We are to pray for them. We are to be like she exactly was. We are to have a courageous heart, ready to speak the word in season and out of season. Oh, she was a young, unnamed, courageous girl that we learned so much. And we got to remember, Naaman got angry. You know, he got angry in the beginning. He received what this young girl said he believed to go see Elisha. But he got angry when it was to do something so simple as to dip himself into the river 7 times. He got angry with the simple thing. Ladies, think about this. You know, God does not ask us to do the mighty works, mighty, mighty works, but he asks us to do the simple things in life. Think about Joshua. Joshua, when he, in the book of Joshua, when he was to overtake the city of Jericho, what did God ask him to do? God just asked him to march around the city with all of Israel for 6 days, march around each day once, and on the 7th day, 7 times, and then blow the trumpet. And God made those walls fall down. It was just to march around the city, a simple thing. Think about Gideon in the book of Judges. God needed an army. There were too many of them. And so God asked them something simple. He said, Gideon, you know, let your men drink water, and just by how they will drink the water, whether just by how they drink, the method in which they drink, I'm going to choose the army. And it was something so simple, and God chose 300 men. What does Revelation 3:20 say? Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. So simple. What does he want us to do? He wants us to open the door. Just open the door. It's so simple. The gospel of simplicity. And Jesus says, I will come and sup with you. Oh, we make things so complicated. But he's asking for the simple things in life. We've been given mouths. Let us open our mouths and speak the love of Jesus like this young maidservant who wasn't afraid, who showed all those incredible characteristics, these simple things. Ladies, can we do that in our lives as we reflect on this story? And this is a great story because it is a great story of a person who could have been completely resentful and angry with what took place in her life. And she could have been angry at that person, Naaman, and at the situation, but she used her situation and she lived her life for God. That she, again, she had that New Testament mentality to show love, to show mercy, to show forgiveness, to respond to the need. Can we do that in our lives? If there's somebody that's hurt you, can you show them kindness? Can you pray blessing upon their lives? Oh, you know, there have been people in my life that have hurt me, but you can't stay angry. Why? Because God loves them. God has a plan for their lives too. And we got to pray that they would turn around, that they would open their eyes to Jesus. And God is using your situation, my situation, just to pray for them. Can we do that today? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you once again for your word, O God. Oh, Jesus, we are just so grateful for the word of God, which speaks life to us each and every single time. And Lord Jesus, as we see this seemingly insignificant character, Lord, Father, Lord, we thank you for her New Testament love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion that she had upon her master. And Lord Jesus, we know that in our situations, you have placed us. Lord, it isn't by happenstance. It isn't by chance that we are where we are, but you have placed us where we are today, whether favorable or unfavorable. But Lord, I pray that you open our eyes today to look around us, to see and understand the situation that we are in, to give thanks for it, to have the godly mindset of how to look at this situation, to give thanks for it and to understand that you have a plan and you have a purpose. And Lord, for those people that have hurt us and those people, Lord, who have perhaps abused us and used us, Lord Jesus, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And let this truly be, these words be the words that come out of our hearts, that we forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And help us, oh God, to pray for them and to love on them. And Lord, to believe and that you are going to bless them. And Lord, turn around their lives and their situations, oh God. Lord, we speak blessing. Father, you are a good God. And Lord Jesus, again, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for what we are placed in. And Lord, we say once again, we trust you as this young maidservant trusted you with her life. And Lord, we don't know it, but she was incredibly generously rewarded, probably physically, but definitely eternally. And so, Lord Jesus, take our lives again once more. We commit our lives to you and let us be a blessing to the ones around us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, ladies, thank you once again for joining me in this episode. And again, I will say it once again, make sure you make today count in the kingdom of God. If someone has hurt you, pick up that phone. If you can't pick up that phone, pray for them. Pray for them. Pour out your heart unto the Lord for them. And not only will God bring healing in that situation, but will bring restoration in your own heart. And so remember, be that voice. Remember that we have a great commission. We are to go to all the world and preach the gospel. This isn't just for pastors or evangelists or missionaries, but for all of us. We are called to open our mouths and speak the love of Christ, the love of Jesus to everyone that we meet, because He is coming back soon. Time of harvest is not in 4 months from now, but be ready today. May the Lord richly bless you, and God willing, we'll see you next time. Bye for now.